It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd. The only light we ever see is from our monitor.
We argue about comic books and internet connections. The biggest highlight of the year is the Star Trek convention.
Our turn wasn't big enough to sign up any stars. We much better Richard, who was phased by a Borg.
Ben,
he knew Mr. Sulu.
What?
It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd.
Well, good morning, and welcome to episode number 21 of Nerdcast. And Nerdcast is our screencast that is designed for nerds and wannabe nerds. So we have nerds in about 9 countries as of right now, and we have wannabe nerds in, 190-some countries? And we're looking forward to constantly growing. So what we talk about on Nerdcast are just various technical topics. We bring in folks from all over the world, and today we have Andy back. Good to have you, Andy.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Andy is the official radio voice on our team, while Andy and Rob sort of go head to head. Rob from Perth, Australia, couldn't join us today. We're missing you, Rob. We actually got an email a couple of weeks ago to nerdcast@nerdsonsite.com, which is actually our feedback email. And we want Rob back. So, Rob, don't disappoint people that want to hear your voice and see your face. And Arthur, our producer, is with us again. Arthur, good to have you.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for taking care of the show last week, by the way, Arthur, while I was away.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And we have Chris from the UK. Good to have you again, Chris.
Hi, Chris. Thanks, David.
Hey. All right. So we, as usual, start with good news. And I'm going to top it off today with something very exciting in my life, and that has to do with we'll talk more about Snow Leopard, but how it affected me was the fact that I was able to get Snow Leopard on Friday, and I hadn't done enough research and realized that you actually needed to exchange 2007 Service Pack 2, and on the exchange front, I felt like, I'm going to stick sort of behind times like Steve Gibson with his old Windows because it just works, right? So here I found myself having Snow Leopard and setting up Mac Mail with my exchange account. Like, oh, you have to have 2007 with Service Pack 1 and some hot fixes. Fine. I backed up all my exchange mailboxes on that server. I notified everybody it's going to be a downtime on Saturday. Going to do the upgrade. And I did that. So I'm on SPS 2008 with Exchange Servers 2007 Service Pack 2 with Snow Leopard and Mac Mail and BlackBerry Enterprise Server, and my life is finally perfect. And I mean perfect when it comes to wireless wireless synchronization of email, contacts, calendar, and it's just on everything. I can now be on Outlook Web Access on the Mac. I can be on anywhere. I can be on Mac Mail on my personal Mac. I can be on the iPhone. I can be on the BlackBerry, and everything is just synchronized wirelessly all the time. You've never been able to do that before. And we're finally living the perfect mobile business warrior life. So that's my good news. Try to top that one, Andy.
Well, I don't have mine yet. So
You'll be in the same boat very soon, I know.
Yes, yeah, very soon. I've got everything all ready. I just need my copy of Snow Leopard, and then I'll be okay. So, yeah, anxiously awaiting that. I thought that FedEx would have it here yesterday, but nope, it wasn't here. So my good news is, I've got another, client that, we are putting a server together for, completely virtualized server, lots of different bells and whistles that, we're putting in. And the best thing is that, this server is a really, really nice enterprise grade server, 3 users. So these guys are real road warriors. 3 users, they're on the road all the time, and they've got a really good business, and they see the value of putting in a server and being, available anywhere that they are. So love working with those types of clients where they really see the value in doing this sort of thing, and they're excited about it. And I'm excited about it. So it's a good thing.
That's awesome. I mean, it might be very similar to the environment I have at home. And I actually have a 3-year-old server, believe it or not, that I put SPS 2008. I was shocked that it was a 64-bit processor. And I put the minimum 4 gigs of RAM in it, and it was still a better deal for me to do that and get it up and running. And then, because I had no other stable box around to put Bez on, I put VMware on 2 on top of that, and then I put an XP Pro box to run Bez for 4 mailboxes and 4 Blackberries within my family. And the machine takes about 12 minutes to boot up for the virtual machines and everything to have started up and running, but it's flawless. I don't get, I mean, other than CPU alerts that I get from SBS, everything's just running beautifully. So,
and 12 minutes is not even too bad. Like some servers, like running SBS, take a lot longer than that.
Yeah, could be. So I'm excited, Andy. No, and that's, I think, will happen more and more with businesses. They'll realize that technology infrastructure is absolutely essential if you want to make a business in the modern world. So, yeah, excellent. Good news. Arthur, your turn.
Oh, you know what? I'm actually going to talk your good news.
Uh-oh.
See, the thing is, I've been running with this setup that David has been, like, dreaming for, like, a year already.
What?
Because, see, I have IMAP email, but also this week I set up CalDAV. So I have my iPhone synchronized with Calendar and also LDAP. And so using open source free technologies doesn't require 64-bit processor.
and he's got his Android phone.
And it takes 30 seconds to boot up.
Oh, do I sense some jabs coming from Arthur?
Yeah, good news. Yeah, well, I've been doing quite a bit of experimentation with CalDAV, which is an iCal server this last week. And there's some very cool solutions that I've been looking at. And so... I'll post more about that later on, but it's definitely exciting.
Awesome. Awesome, Arthur. And thanks to Arthur for all the good work on nerdsonsite.tv. We're constantly making changes and asking him every day for additional features and changes. We're now starting to use that for all kinds of purposes, including internal MBA course that our CEO Charlie is teaching. So if you're not part of that yet, make sure you join us. It's every other Tuesday, and we're switching between mid-afternoon to evening, just so that for some of them we can reach more international time zones that are otherwise not practical. But the next one is in 2 weeks from this past Tuesday, and it's at 6 p.m. So let me give you the exact date to talk to you. Make sure you put it in your calendar. It's September 15th at 6 p.m. Make sure that you put it in your calendar. That's going to be our next session of Charlie's. We call it the Business Realities MBA MBE, Master of Business Enterprising, Master of Business Administration course. And everyone has participated, has just given great feedback. And it's just one that you don't want to miss. If you're a nerd and you missed the first 4 that there have been so far, you can actually grab the video from the resource from the NerdWiki, where the University of Nerdology session course on that particular course. So make sure you check it out. Front page of I Am a Nerd, the link is right there. And last but not least, Chris, we'd love to hear your good news as well.
Thanks, David. My good news is, again, more Meraki stuff. So
yes.
This time I've got a school who's interested in having a look at what Meraki could do for them.
Right on.
So I'm going in for a presentation on Monday and see how that goes. It's good stuff.
Right on. That's excellent. Excellent. And I look forward to helping you out on that, Chris. Monday is Labor Day
in
Canada and the U.S., and on Labor Day it means you labor. That's what I understand, and it's funny how some people misunderstand that day. We have some pretty cool stories today. Oh, and before we get into the first story about TomTom and the iPhone, next week is going to be a special. We're going to have Guillermo and or Mark and or Jonathan on from our hosting and development pod, and we're going to talk about the elements of our Ready Aim Fire system, our RAF, how we integrate with OpenERP, how we integrate with QuickBooks, and how it really is the future of what SMEs need to run their entire business. Everything from customer relationship management to invoicing and accounting to e-commerce, managing human resources, all of those aspects are part of our RAF system, and we're going to demo that just even for nerds themselves that aren't aware of everything that version 2 has been done, that what we've done and how we've re-architected it. The file processor, the resource library, you're going to You're not even going to recognize it from what we have today, but I'm looking forward to showing that as a demo, and we're going to use that Nerdcast to allow nerds to demo that to customers as well. Anyway, the first story we're talking about today is TomTom hitting the iPhone, and I was a sucker to pay the $100 to actually get it on my iPhone because
doesn't sound promising.
Well, I say sucker because I think my limitation is here. I'm going to show it to you on the camera, but my limitation is that I still have the 3G. I haven't decided to upgrade to the 3GS yet, and from what I've seen and what I've read, it's just that the 3G just doesn't perform very well with some of the software that just runs so much better on the new 3GS. So I actually haven't used it very much. I end up going back to my five-year-old GPS because, hey, it just works. It's just there. And I don't yet have – I haven't yet found an ideal Windows suction cup holder for the iPhone. I'm still looking for one that that I'm going
to
like.
A Windows Mobile Titan 2 one that seems to do.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Seems all right. But I was going to say, do you think then that's a problem with the TomTom? Because TomTom ran okay on other devices.
Yeah.
iPhone's not slow.
Well, there's a couple of comments I wanted to make. I don't think that it's TomTom software per se. I think just think that the 3G is a little underpowered.
Yeah. I think it was always designed for the 3GS, though.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Yeah,
but also the interface isn't very nice as well. Like, it's kind of clunky to use, and like even using Google Maps is a lot easier to use than the TomTom application, I find. Like, I just use David's a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think what it boils down to is that when it comes to navigation devices, it's what people are used to. And my wife is used to the old GPS too, so she doesn't mind it. She doesn't like change. So even though I would consider the new TomTom on 3G better than my five-year-old GPS, she'll stick with what she knows. So when you're used to an interface that you know, then you want to stick with it. What I have noticed
to be a lot better.
Oh, it does. But what I have noticed is that the people who write reviews that are raving about the iPhone version of the TomTom, they're the ones who've always used TomTom. Mm. But people who are new to GPSs, it's not that impressive. It's as simple as that. But there's also – I wanted to there's another one that I bought. It's only $5. It's Rode. Now, Rode is not 2 gigs worth of downloads or 1.2 or whatever TomTom is. It's just a very small app, but it uses your 3G data connection to grab the maps just like Google Maps would. But it also has turn-by-turn direction. And in fact, for $5, you've got...
That's pretty good.
For $5, you've got almost the exact same feature-wise. And there's another one for only $2. I didn't get that one, but that's Canada only. And just the reviews I read on that look pretty impressive too. I just didn't need a third GPS app. So
they really need trialing on these apps.
Yeah.
You've paid that and that's it.
That's right. That's right.
So the difference is that on one you paid $99 up front, and on the other one you pay $5 up front, but you're going to pay $99 in data charges.
Yeah, definitely if you're going out of country, right? So one of the reasons I wanted the TomTom on here, and I made this, I realized, you know what, someone's going to come out with a cheaper version that's going to be using your 3G data connection. But when I'm in the U.S., I don't want to pay roaming charges, right? So... And I do travel enough in the U.S. that I want to make sure I have at least one other option. And I'm not going to use Google Maps and whatnot in the U.S. anymore because I've been hit with massive roaming charges I don't want to get hit with again. But anyway, that's my take on GPS and TomTom. I don't know if you guys have any other comments.
I won't be getting TomTom.
Oh, and then on the weekend I'm in Canada Computer Store. And I see that they have TomTom devices for $100. I'm like, why would you get the app on the iPhone when you can get a separate device? I mean, I love the idea of integrating stuff. But then, you know, while you're on the GPS, how often do you take a phone call? Now I don't know where to go because I'm on the phone. No, so you want to keep your devices separate.
The other cool thing, though, is that if you're traveling somewhere, you know, whether you're walking or you're taking a cab, you can see if, you know, if they're taking the best route possible or if they're bringing around in circles. You know, there's lots of reasons why having it all in one device is a good thing, whether you use it all the time that way.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I get GPS on my, I mean, I've got GPS on my BlackBerry. I've got it on on other devices, but I still use the standard GPS unit in my vehicle. I just leave it up there and use it when I'm traveling.
Right.
But it is handy to have alternatives in case you don't have that other device with you. So
right.
It's always pretty handy. And some of the other nice features, you know, like the fact that they built the GPS in gives you things like geotagging, all those other features that are really handy to have. But, you know, using it all the time, battery life just isn't good enough to do that.
Yeah, no, you're right. On to our second story. This actually could be a life changer and will be a life changer. Wireless or cordless electricity. And the picture here on the article that we're looking at on CNN.com is just a picture of a row of laptops that are all plugged in to these massive power bars. And that's exactly what, you know, Reboot Camp looks like when nerds get together and we get, you know, 10 to 25 nerds together in a room. In a U-shaped form, you always have to be careful that Charlie doesn't step on any cords because they're all over the place, right? And even though, you know, we've got Wi-Fi, it's... even though we've got Wi-Fi, we haven't got that with electricity. So this, I don't know. Did we talk about the, there's actually a TED talk where a guy demonstrates it on wireless electricity. I think it's still on the front page of TED.com. If anybody wants to take a look at it, it really is pretty impressive.
On the left.
On the left. Top. There you go.
Second one.
Eric Geiler, if that's how you pronounce his name, demos wireless electricity. And it's pretty impressive. So those of you who want to see how it works and, you know, address the concerns right away about what the effects might be. There's no radiation. It just uses electromagnetic. I'm not going to pretend that I understand that stuff. But he says there's no health concerns. Who knows? How do we know? But it's exciting. You know, I had just bought this MacBook Pro 17-inch. I got... The best there was long ago. And I said, you know what? This is going to be the laptop that lasts me 3 years, maybe 5 years. And here I am finding out that, you know, we're going to have wireless electricity in less than a year. What are you guys thinking?
I don't know. I still think the health concerns are valid. I mean, when cell phones came out, they said, oh, there won't be health concerns, right. You know, Bluetooth headsets and, you know, and then you hear of people having issues down the road. So I don't know. When it comes to pushing more electricity, I mean, these things are very low voltage and still there can be problems. So
as long as more electricity, medicine catches up so that they can fix us if we get problems from it, then
yeah, I'm happy. I don't know. I love technology, but, you know, some of these things can pretty dangerous, the look and feel of them.
Can you imagine what a denial of service attack might look like? I'm going to cut off your power. Oh, we're going to deal with a whole new slew, you know, of security issues around this. But it's exciting. There's no doubt about it. And one of the comments that our CEO Charlie made yesterday when he looked at this article, he said, well, that just means that we're only a year or two away from cars. I mean, having electrically powered highway with cars using that wireless electricity basically eliminates the need for batteries. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities of where this technology could go and be absolutely revolutionary, absolutely disruptive in everything that we do. Even if we do get sick. Oh, man. There's another article that I saw that I thought was kind of interesting. The title is on PCMag.com, A World Without Apple. South Korea shows what the world might look like if the iPod and iPhone had never happened. And I don't know if any of you guys read this article, but it certainly is an interesting take on what it would be like. And one of the things that, just a couple of key areas, that the triumph of the keyboard is one of the subheadings. And it says, Koreans, like Americans, love flip phones. That hasn't kept them off the web. They surf on flip phones, text on flip phones, and watch TV on flip phones. And looking at the US, we flip phones with full keyboards and iPhones. And touch keyboards are fundamentally flawed. We only put up with the typing on a touch keyboard because we love the rest of the iPhone's features. An Apple-less world would have a lot more physical keyboards in it. And that I agree with. And that's the one reason why I can't let go of my BlackBerry, because... you know, to me, it's very simple. The iPhone is for those who are consuming information, right? So you want a lot of inbound information. The iPhone is great. It sucks for sending. But the BlackBerry is great for if you're a leader and you need to respond, you need to send information. You can't do that effectively from the iPhone. And I know there's going to be Apple fanboys out there who say, yeah. But I'll take you on a competition any day about who can write and compose more emails, you on the iPhone, me on the BlackBerry. At the end of the day, it's just more versatile. So I'm with him on that. And I just thought there's some really interesting, a really interesting take here on what would happen, what would have happened if we didn't have Apple. But the truth is, having Apple in the marketplace, I think, is wonderful because they really set the bar higher. And the moment they change the belief system on everybody's, in everybody's mindset and all the developers, then all of a sudden, all their ideas come to fruition in a much better, much more creative way. And so everybody benefits as a result of someone setting the bar high like Apple. Yay? Nay?
Yeah, you know what? You're right. But you know what? There, one advantage to the iPhone keyboard is you don't actually have to make the physical effort of pressing a button. You just tap it. And so in theory, you could actually type quicker because you don't have the physical effort that you have to generate in order to press a button.
Yeah. And this is another one of those theory that doesn't follow practice.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm still happy with my typing speed.
Yeah.
Daryl Siemens, oh, I guess he must have got an iPhone. He responds to my comment about a leader needing a BlackBerry. I guess I'm no longer a leader. No, Daryl, you just hang on to your laptop, okay? As long as your laptop is close by, you'll be fine. But I still end up going back to the computer, especially now with Mac Mail. I am now doing much more email, believe it or not, from the computer than I was before. Before, I was launching a virtual machine with Outlook and it being sluggish, that very often I would actually pick up my BlackBerry and just type it instead, right? So now I can actually use Mac Mail. And
What is it you like about Mac Mail?
I love Mac Mail for its speed, for the simplicity, for dragging and dropping attachments, all of that. Just it's so responsive. The Smart Mail, oh my goodness, the Smart Mail folders.
I've not tried that. I had a quick go of it, but still use Thunderbird at the moment. Oh, no, actually, Postbox
Smart
I went over
Mail
to.
Rocks.
Yeah.
Smart Mail rocks. Like if you're a high volume email person, and you don't want to let important stuff get drowned in the volume, that's where Smart Mail has huge power. So of course I have a Charlie Smart Mail. So before I check where all my email comes from, I can check, okay, what have I got from Charlie that needs to be responded to, and that way you're not going through everything else just to find the important stuff, right? Yeah. So that's my take anyway. A world with Apple, still better. But, you know, this is free enterprise. That's what I love about free enterprise, and that's why everybody wants to come to a country that gives you the freedom. And by the way, freedom that we so often talk about isn't freedom to be lazy. It's freedom to pursue. And I think all too often now in developed nations like yours and ours, Chris, we have people who think that freedom means I can just sit and be lazy. That's not what it is. Freedom to pursue enterprise is what we have in our great countries. Next story. I think you submitted this one here, right, Chris?
Yeah.
What's this one called?
It's kind of accurate, but it's definitely amusing.
Dear various parents, grandparents, coworkers, and other not computer people, we don't magically know how to solve everything in every program. When we help you, we're just usually doing this. And there's a start button or a start square, and it leads to a decision tree. Find menu item or button which looks relevant to what you want to do. You find it? Okay, click it. Did it work? Yes, you're done. Another avenue is, I can't find the icon. So pick one at random. Click it. Did it work? Yes, you're done. It's basically talking about how, you know, folks that you might call, this is, it is kind of funny. What we do,
I think we should point out that it's from XKCD if we didn't say that.
I know. You're right. XKCD, it's, they've got some funny stuff when it comes to technology. This is very true.
Not always true. Well, not always quite true, but it's close.
Yeah. No, this is interesting. Basically, the message here is, look, we get better at technology by trying it. And I think this is where children provide a good lesson, right? They have no fear of trying things. That's why they naturally are
confidence.
Good at becoming computer literate, right? They just go ahead and jump in it right away. So I haven't been keeping up with the chat here. But Casey, back to the BlackBerry. He loves his bold. Yay, Casey. I agree. They finally got the keyboard right again. Daryl says, yes, I actually dread using my iPhone sending mail. There you go. See, he loves Mac mail. It's much faster than anything he's ever used. Opening, searching, syncing, etc. And now it connects to Exchange. You're right, Daryl. So we're on the same page there. Mac mail absolutely rocks. In fact, I was without my Bez for 3 days because on the weekend I did my SBS upgrade and I didn't have time to get my Bez back up and running again. But I was so excited that I had my Mac Mail Exchange functionality finally. I didn't even really miss, well, I missed it, but not nearly as much as I previously would have had not having the Bez. So you're absolutely right. And there's another one.
I was thinking, Chris? Should we be linking to these pages in the chat for everyone until we've got your screen showing on the live video?
Should we be linking? I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand, Chris.
Everyone in the chat can't see your GoToMeeting, can they?
Oh, I see. Folks who are in the chat, if you do want to join the GoToMeeting, that's a good point. Arthur, I did see Arthur posted it. You're welcome to continue. If you're watching live, participating live, you're welcome to join my GoToMeeting. And Arthur, if you could post it once again in the chat, that's a great idea. Thanks, Chris. And for people that join us afterwards, like Paul, hey, welcome, Paul. Who just joined us. I think he's a new nerd from Calgary. Welcome. Good to have you. The next one, I think you also submitted, Chris.
Troubleshooting this was common the serious.
Problems. Yeah, this is the more serious one. And actually, this is excellent. This is. I just looked at it very briefly. I thought, I mean, this is all logical. It makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah, it is.
There you go. I think they've got a few of them for different situations. Possibly.
So lifehacker.com, and the article is called Computer Repair Flowchart Troubleshoots Common Hardware Problems. This is actually very very close to a lot of the elements that we talk about in the laptop and desktop diagnosis. Arthur actually teaches the required University of Nerdology course. So, hey, Paul, I see you in the chat there. I actually see that this is very similar to what Arthur teaches. It's a course called Laptop and Desktop Diagnosis, and it's required by every new nerd. So Paul, anyone else who's new, if you haven't gone through that yet, you can take that U of N course on demand by looking at the video online and then going through the test, or you can participate live. The schedule is always on the front page of I Am a Nerd. All right, to my favorite story of this week, Snow Leopard's four best improvements for civilians. I like that qualifier. So let's go to the first one. You can do more with less effort from the dock and menu bar. This is not for a power user. Command tab, alt tab, don't need any of that crap. But the the really important one is this, number two. You can ditch Entourage. Entourage, you can ditch. This is fantastic, just like my good news from this morning. And just using iCal, I'm using iCal for the first time ever. Yay! And again, I just want to illustrate the point here. I can create or edit or change an appointment in my iPhone. I can create, edit, or change it on my BlackBerry. I can create or change on Outlook Web Access. I can create or change in iCal. I can create or change in Outlook. And it's just all wireless synchronized. It's beautiful. Just beautiful.
It is exactly what everybody's looking for.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't understand why the all the guys out there with podcasts are saying, you know, don't bother getting Snow Leopard. I say get it.
It's cheap enough.
Oh, man. I think Snow Leopard is more revolutionary for the small, medium enterprise, mobile business warrior than any other Mac OS. Simple as that. And it's only $30. Arthur has a very good point.
Well, yeah, of course. For the price of QuickTime Pro, you can purchase Leopard and have QuickTime 10, which has all the features that you guys need. Movie recording, audio recording, screen recording, and basic editing such as trim and stuff like that. But you can still use QuickTime 7 Pro on Snow Leopard as well for if you need advanced editing, like I do a lot of copy and paste of tracks and separating tracks and stuff like that. You can't do that on QuickTime 10, but I think just that is even worth the upgrade.
It actually looks nice now as well.
It really does. It really does. Yeah. Daryl Siemens has a good comment. He drove an Entourage, and that's where it should have ended. that's funny.
Well, it's interesting, too, that Microsoft has announced that they're discontinuing Entourage and that they're actually going to come out with Outlook for the Mac, which I could never understand why they renamed it on the Mac. I mean, there was Word and Excel on the Mac, and Entourage was, you know, this completely separate thing. It wasn't Outlook, and it made no sense to me from, you know, from a just the standpoint of the name itself. It made no sense. But
wasn't it a completely different development department? Because it's the same for Internet Explorer.
They used to have Outlook for Mac, and then they got rid of Outlook and came out with Entourage, a different team developing it.
Yeah.
The thing that we were talking about before the show that I think is really quite humorous is that now OS X has more enterprise support, meaning that just the raw bundle of OS X has the ability to get on Exchange Server when all of Microsoft's operating systems cannot. So if you want to get on Exchange Server for enterprise mail, you have to go out and purchase Office or purchase just Outlook on its own. If you want like a hosted Exchange, any of those sorts of things, you have to own Outlook. Whereas with OS X, it just comes bundled in. So it's funny how just buying the operating system on, just buying the hardware with the operating system on a Mac, you get it. On a PC, that's an extra. Even though Microsoft is the one that makes it. I find that kind of humorous.
Wow. Absolutely right, Andy. So if we put numbers side by side, $29 upgrade gets you an operating system upgrade with enterprise mail support versus Windows 7 is going to be, even if you got like the advanced copy of the 3-for-1, or what was $150 for the home, it got three copies, so it's $50 plus Outlook on top of that. At the very, very lowest price point, you're still looking at $150 and change, right? To get that happening. Oh, yeah. So that's incredible. Diane says this is her first Mac, and she got it yesterday, and it's Snow Leopard. Excellent, Diane. Excellent. And Daryl says, what would you say other than Exchange are the benefits of Snow Leopard? And speed improvement. I agree. Mine became significantly faster. It cleared up an extra 10 gigs of disk space that I didn't have before.
So legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. So just from, I think a lot of the language stuff that you don't use is gone. And I haven't had a single issue. I haven't had a single thing break. Yesterday, Arthur and I were a little bit concerned because we found that Soundflower that we use every day didn't work. But then an update had just come out like literally hours earlier. So that got resolved. So we're all good. I mean, I think I even bought one for my father-in-law. And I said, here, you're going to Snow Leopard. Simple as that. He doesn't have an option. Because he sometimes talks about performance. I mean, his MacBook Pro is now 2 years old. I put a newer, faster hard drive in it, which helped a little bit. And now with Snow Leopard, it'll help him even more. So it's definitely something that everyone should go. As far as I'm concerned, everyone needs a Snow Leopard. There's no one that wouldn't benefit $30 worth. So there.
Anyone on an Intel platform.
Yeah,
Intel Mac.
Very good point. Very good point. They did. This was the official divorce from PowerPC, right?
Yeah,
it's now official. Definitely. If you have an iBook, my wife has an iBook, and she's happy with it. And she says, I don't need anything new. So, she's gonna stick with Leopard and her Entourage. Have fun, honey.
I just linked to an article and put it up in the wiki. Just speaking about benchmarking.
Yeah.
And there was an article that was on the unofficial web blog, unofficial Apple web blog.
T-U-A-W, right?
That's correct. Yeah. .com. Okay. And so they've got a benchmarking results where they ran Geekbench, and so they did the specs using 10.5.2 and then 10.5 or 10.6. Sorry.
Okay.
And they gave the overall results, and it ended up that the performance had gone up by 4% just on regular everyday things. The biggest performance increase being in floating point operations, which increased by 5%. So, you know, you're getting all of those new feet, you're getting all of those little fixes. You know, a lot of the people complain about Snow Leopard. They say that it's just, you know, it's almost like a service pack. You're getting a lot of little fixes here and there.
Yeah.
So, you know, granted, some of that is true. You're getting all of that, but you're also getting a speed increase and you're getting some extra functionality.
Yeah.
So for the $29, you know, who can complain about that? You know, it's really a no-brainer that you're able to get this sort of thing. There's a little app that that I ran, just speaking about the space that you save. There was an app that I ran called Monolingual. It's on SourceForge. It's an open source project that using Tiger and Leopard, you can save a lot of the space because what this will do is it'll go through and remove all of the language packs that you don't need, any of the input menus, any of the architectures that you don't need. So if you're running on an Intel processor or you're running on a PowerPC processor, it'll remove all of the architectures that you're not using. So it'll remove a lot of that space. So like on mine, you said you save 10 gigs. So when I upgrade, hopefully today, to Snow Leopard, I'm probably only going to save a couple of gigs because I think when I ran this, I was saving, I think it was like 5 or 6 gigs that cleaned up. Took a few hours to run it and remove all of that. But, you know, anybody that isn't upgrading, so if you're on Tiger and it's a, you know, PowerPC, you can go in and remove those other architectures and language packs that you're not using.
Right, right. No, good point. There are two more points I want to make, though, as well. And one is that there is one reason that you should definitely put a stop sign out there for someone wanting to upgrade. And that is just if they are indeed dependent on an application that maybe isn't working in Snow Leopard. That would be the only reason, as far as I'm concerned, that you might not want to. That's it. And I see in the chat, guys are talking about how even though it's 64-bit, it still boots into 32-bit by default. But you can hold down 6 and 4 keys as you boot up, and then it boots into 64-bit mode at the OS level. So, cool. I'm not sure who Chopper is. Thank you for the extra tip there. That's a very good point. Yeah.
He's a friend of mine.
Oh, okay. Hey, from the UK?
Yeah.
Hey, Chopper, good to have you. All right. And then we have one more story. I think you also submitted this one, Chris. This identifies things and photographs with the power of humans.
Now, I didn't read into it completely, but yeah, it seems that you upload your photo and then people identify it for you.
Yeah. Ever want to figure out what you're looking at but not sure where to start? If you've got a camera handy, snap a pic and upload to a website. ID this for a little help from the Hive. And this is a simple but brilliant little web app that lets users upload pics, anything they're looking for to identify. If you feel like offering your expertise to the site, you can try your hand at identifying any pic. So I guess if you're, it looks here like as an example, they've got an old Navy aircraft, and aircraft enthusiasts, you know, probably know the model number and when it was built and how many were built and all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's what it's helping you identify. That seems neat. Very neat.
I think, it seems like fun, but it might actually have a useful purpose.
So if I took a picture of my fingerprint with the iPhone app, somebody will say, hey, that's David Redekop's fingerprint, or that kind of thing.
Hey, you never know. Yeah, I've needed that before. Like,
yeah, right. Right, when you need to impersonate it, when you needed to impersonate me, Arthur, that's when you needed it. Right. All right, one more story here, folks. Hey, happy birthday, Internet. Casey, who is the kind general manager here at the coffee office in London, Canada, her birthday today. And what do we know? What do we know, Casey? You're sharing it with, she's not 40, not nearly, but you're sharing it with the internet. Oh, wait, this was yesterday. Oh, okay.
So near.
All right, Casey, you still have, you're still the only one with a birthday. How's that? 40 years ago today. That was yesterday. A group of computer scientists managed to pass bits of data from one computer to another over a long gray cable. In doing so, they created the first node of what we now call the internet. Very neat.
Yay!
There was a time when this was dreamed up, you know, and those nerds who understand and continue to always learn about TCP/IP, I certainly have a real appreciation for what amount of research and thought had to go through these researchers' minds in order to make this happen, and for the everything that's still being built on top of it to be possible. Like, to me, it's just absolutely miraculous. It is the most amazing part of business life today, as far as I'm concerned, that this was actually made possible. What do you guys think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, years ago, what was it? I think 2004 or 2005 was the last year that when you asked a business person, what's the most important thing, the most important tool to your business, they said telephone at the time.
Right.
Now, even the telephone is done over the internet. I mean, Skype and all these different voice over IP. But since then, email has trumped. And so businesses use instant messages, they use email, they use all kinds of different communication, what we're doing here now, to get in touch with each other, video chats, but again, even the phone itself, everything over the internet. So, you know, there's that convergence of every single piece of medium that's important to a business, all the technology, right down over the internet using TCP/IP.
And our kids, Andy's got a young daughter, and my boys, they won't ever know what life was like without that connectivity.
That's true.
And it'll be impossible for us to communicate what life was like. They just expect that anything that they can imagine, any kind of magic, and maybe that's a good thing, is possible, so that they're not restricting their thought of what's possible to achieve in this world. It is absolutely the best time to be alive, you know, with all this happening. Just amazing.
I reckon when they got wireless electricity, that would be the best time.
That would be better. But to date, this is better.
Yeah.
To date, we're definitely living the life.
Then you're gonna have, you know, drive by stealing of electricity. Not just your Wi-Fi signal, you're actually stealing electricity.
Yeah, have we covered WPA, PSK?
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, my word. I knew there was something very, very important that we had to cover off. The WPA security, yeah. You go ahead and start talking about it. You guys know this better than I do.
Yeah, I think it's just the TKIP encryption
right.
has been hacked by some Japanese, I'm not sure if they're researchers. I just kind of scanned it over. Like, I've always just been using AES since I first started using WPA because it's more secure.
Yeah.
But and as long as you're using WPA AES encryption, you're fine. But
that's right.
For those of you,
I think the only problem was some devices didn't support that.
Yeah, some don't support AES.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for a while, but I remember like a couple of years ago that was a problem.
No. As far as I know, this has only been a proof of concept, has it not? It hasn't actually been proven?
They've done it. It's just not widespread yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the article on Tom's Guides, published last Thursday, so it's fairly recent. Two Japanese scientists of Kobe University plan to reveal how they can crack WP encryption in 60 seconds at a technical conference on September 25th in Hiroshima. So they'll be demonstrating it later this month in September. But we've all of us that have been security conscious and have been reading Dennis Hausneck. Dennis, we're missing you today. Jeez, we would have had this as the first article had you been here. Dennis points out that this is not something that we need to all be concerned about. However, we already knew that TKIP was weak some time ago. So this isn't really that new that it was weak. And he already had us using AES all along whenever possible. And I know I did that one. And I checked as soon as I saw this last Thursday. I checked my time capsule, which is my access point at my house. And I had it set to AES. And I was using, of course, stevegibsongrc.com/password to
put in a 63-character random password, and so that's how my wireless network is protected, as you know, everyone should be, that we take care of and care for and love. So there.
Yeah, and also a nice cool little trick for protecting your wireless networks is just to use a YubiKey in static password mode. With the YubiKey 2, using the personalization tool, you can actually set it to use both numbers and letters randomly. The version 1 only used numbers, only used letters. And you can also have it in dual mode. So you can have it first mode set to the OTP one-time password mode, and you can actually configure it to have a second mode. So if you hold it in a little bit longer, it'll do a static password. So that way, if you have friends coming to your house who want to use your wireless internet, instead of you having to get out this big 63-character password that nobody can decipher, you can just give them a YubiKey, right?
Good point.
Great.
One time, $25 gets you one of these YubiKeys. There you go. Very good point, Arthur. YubiKey rocks, says Steve. I agree. We have found some issues, and maybe we should talk about that one time too. And YubiKo has been very responsive in working with us. There is now, if you order any new YubiKeys, they're version 2. And some of those issues are addressed. For example, if you leave your YubiKey in your computer on for days and you don't shut it off, then something to do with computer cycles, you know, can mess things up. Pull it out, put it back in so that it can get a fresh start, and away you go. That's one issue. And another issue is that, actually more of a training issue, people are pressing so hard, you don't need to. You can just be very gentle. But what they've done in version 2 with the new YubiKey is they've made that a little more indented. So I think it's more natural for you to just very gently rest your index finger on it, as opposed to feeling that you need to press it hard. Arthur's got a couple of those, and he showed me. So there's definitely constant improvement on that, but it's still, as far as I'm concerned, a necessary piece in everybody's lanyard is to have a YubiKey. All right, folks. Thanks very much for the comments online today. Really appreciated the interaction. And do send us feedback, any stories that you would like to have covered, topics. And if you want to be on the show, Daryl Siemens, my goodness, I asked you this last time. Why are you not in this show? So you got to be on video next time. Daryl Siemens is one of our pod leaders in London, and he's just a good business guy. If you're
just a nerd, make sure you bring your BlackBerry.
Yeah, right. If you're a nerd or want to be nerd, talk to Daryl. Here's a guy who sets goals and then achieves them, and the very second he achieves them, he's already set new ones. And he's working also as a remote virtual pod leader for the Winnipeg pod. And anyway, Daryl, we've got to have you on here, okay? So don't forget, next Thursday, we're having the Ready, Aim, Fire, our RAF demo. We're going to have Guillermo on there. And Diane from Victoria Island, Vancouver Island, near Victoria. She's actually not in Victoria, but she's on the island. We're looking forward to having you here. And then, Daryl, you should be on next one, or at the very least the week after, okay? So plan on it. Any last words of wisdom, Andy, Arthur, Chris?
Work hard.
Wait, set it up like that. I don't know. Words of wisdom.
I just read a good one last night. I read one. I was looking for inspirational talks last night, and I found one. And it said, all people do things sometimes that successful people do. Successful people just do those things regularly.
Good one.
Hey, there we go. So let's focus on doing those things that make us productive, that help our families, that help our business associates, and everybody wins. Here's to a fantastic business week. We'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thanks. Bye.
Awesome.
Thanks,
everyone.
Take care, all.
Be a nerd, it's great to be a nerd. We know the truth is out there, but we'd have to leave our room. We are the nerds in your neighborhood. Polyester's a fashion statement, but there's more room on the beach for you, 'cause we're locked in our basement. It's great to be a nerd, it's great to be a nerd. We like to wear colors that do not appear in nature. It's great to be a poorly dressed, fashionless, or tricking, role playing, 90 pounds, one without pasty skin, underfed genius, yes, it's